My lips touch you with their soft, wet kisses. Your hands gentle in reply. And the time will be our time. And the grass won't be.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me questions at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N. And you can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salen. It is time for some political talk with Sherilyn Harley Laban, who's the co-chairman of the Project 21 National Advisory Board. And she does so much more, and I'm going to not talk about all of her wonderful background because I want to talk to her because it's been a very long time. Welcome back to the show, Sherilyn, and Happy New Year.
Oh, great to be with you, Bruce, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, it is another year, and I must say I had a great 2013, so I am simply just hoping for more of the same, and I you know, really will be grateful if it even comes close to all the incredible things that happened last year. One of the things that happened on my trip was just a sense of incredible gratitude for how lucky I am to have the life I have, to have been born in America. With all of our problems. And as I said in segment one, Sherilyn, which you may or may not have heard, I was sort of out of touch politically. And I really got, it was a nice breath. I mean, I was very in touch with the where I was and learning a whole lot about local politics, like what's going on in South Africa, which is incredibly powerful and interesting. But I am completely behind, so as far as what's been going on in America. So I would like to just turn it over to you and say, we've got 10 minutes, darling. Tell me what's been going on in your mind that we need to talk about, what's concerning you, and what's happening in the good old U.S. of A?
Well, first of all, last week, Wednesday to be exact, was the 50-year anniversary of the War on Poverty. And I think that's very interesting to look at the state of affairs and to think about state of affairs, economic affairs in our country, Bruce, and to really reflect on the past 5 and 6 years, our economy, where people are, thinking about Obamacare and all of these families and businesses who are getting cancellation notices, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's, I think, a very kind of reflective time in our country. And as we head into 2014 elections, to be quite honest with you, Bruce, I think Americans have some pretty tough decisions to make.
Well, I think they have I think it's the easiest decision ever. Throw the bums out. I mean, we need a wholesale change and get rid of these Democrats that are just destroying our country. But that's just a very simpleton point of view, which will not get me much respect from academics, though I don't necessarily care if I get respect from academics. But I agree with you completely. I think we are facing a real turning point, a tipping point.
A real turning point.
Yeah.
When you look at our deficit, when you look at Obamacare and overhauling 1/6 of the economy, and our government can't even get a website to function properly, 24% of the youth between 18 to 34 have signed up, and we needed 40% to even make this reasonably workable. We don't have that, Bruce. On top of that, you add in discussions about immigration reform. I agree. We need to figure out what to do in this immigration system. But here's the problem. We've got a huge deficit. We're taking on Obamacare, and yet you want to take on another burden, and I'm going to call it a burden just for the purposes of a economic, you know, description, not talking about people, an economic description, another financial burden, which will seriously add to the deficit. I mean, I'm no economist, but I got to tell you, I don't see anybody up there trying to figure out how to solve this problem, and we've got a serious problem.
You're referring now specifically to immigration or to both?
Immigration. Well,
you add in the deficit.
Right. You add in over trying to make Obamacare work, and then you're going to add now another thing, which is going to add a significant burden to our already high deficit, because we're talking about providing educational benefits, health care, housing, everything to a whole, I mean, how many millions of people coming into the country? And we can barely take care of what we've got.
I don't understand what the problem is. Can't we just print more money?
Well, exactly. That's what we've been doing, frankly, Bruce, for the past 6 years now. All we've been doing is printing money. And who's benefiting from it? China?
Well, let me riff off of what you've just said, because you the first words out of your mouth were like, as if we had scripted this segment. You talked about the war on poverty and what's been going on. And I'm not in any way disagreeing with you, because I completely agree with your basic premises of the tipping point that we seem to be facing. But the irony is, poverty in America includes color television, running water, flushing toilets, air conditioning, heat, and television. Poverty in Africa and India, where I just visited, doesn't include any of that. And people are living on anywhere from about 85 cents to about $1.40 a day. I saw vast numbers of people, women primarily, carrying yellow buckets. And I didn't know what they were. What were these big yellow buckets? That is their water supply for 2 days at a time. They don't have running water, and they use that water to drink, wash, and cook in. In Soweto, South Africa, which is the most modern country of sorts in Africa, not necessarily Soweto in particular, where, of course, that was the center of all of the apartheid resistance and unbelievable stories which we saw. But we passed a really poor area of shacks, would be a kind description. And there was a little building like the shape of a telephone cabinet. What do you call it? A telephone, what do you call it? A booth. And it had a number on it. For some reason, I remember the number. The number was 201. It was written vertically. And the guide said, oh, that's the shared toilet for the five shacks that surround it. So the poverty that we experience and our kids experience is so little. Now, granted, in America, we strive for greater. But I think a little bit of perspective is necessary. And let's talk about healthcare. There is no healthcare in much of Africa. And in fact, sure, the life expectancy has gone from 48 to 44 in many countries. The life expectancy in America is going to be exceeding 80 and 90 if it hasn't already. We have the greatest healthcare system. So why the hell are we messing it up? Why the heck
exactly
are we destroying
exactly
it?
People come from all over the world to be treated in the United States. The Saudis come here. If it's so great everywhere else, why aren't they staying in their own countries to come and be operated in New York and California, down by you, UCLA Medical Center? Have people coming from all
heck
over the world?
From
no.
Canada. They come from Canada, right, where they have a so-called, you know, free government health care. They come over for important procedures if they can afford it, because they know it'll get done on time now when you need it, and better.
Right.
But my point is, I have been mystified by President Obama for 6 years now. This man should take the same trip I did. And then maybe he would begin to understand that the fundamentals of America are awesome. It is like Michael Medved often says, every segment of his show, the greatest nation on God's great green earth. When you see the rest of the world, and we started in Dubai, which is the richest, most decadent city in the world, and we went to Mumbai a few days later, which is one of the poorest places in the world. When you see India, the 1.2 billion people that are mostly poor, and the continent of Africa with its 50-odd countries, or however many that are, most of which have fallen apart since they got freedom, including South Africa, which has made unbelievable strides, but has 30% unemployment and 10 to 20% HIV infection nationwide, crime off the charts. And like I said, the life expectancy in much of Africa, except for some privileged people, black and white in South Africa, is half the life expectancy here. We had a driver, a tour guide, who said he will be very happy if he lives to be 50.
Oh, my.
It was sobering, Sherilyn. And I know this sounds like I'm throwing water on your arguments. I mean the opposite. Everything you're saying is why America should be celebrated and not torn down, which is what's going on. We have something unique in human history. So
we
I'm
do.
Off my soapbox. Please go back to what's going on here because it's real.
Well,
and
I mean,
it
is real, and I summed it up. And this is what we're dealing with. And you've got a House of Representatives led by Speaker Boehner, which some argue is not very effective. You know, my husband and I had dinner with friends a couple weeks ago, and our friend said, "No, I think Speaker Boehner is doing a great job, and I think he's doing the best to herd cats." Okay, all right. Then over in the Senate, you've got this filibuster-proof situation now in the Senate, which means every part of the mainstream nominee and judge is now getting confirmed. And here's what the American people don't understand.
Those are lifetime appointments.
Right. The policies that these people put in place, the decisions that these judges decide, these court cases, have enormous ramifications. Okay.
Well, hopefully what's going on in the Supreme Court right now might limit the ability of the president to make all these recess appointments,
right,
which is just a total abuse among all the others that Obama has done
and
for
now,
six years of his office.
And those are specifically, Bruce, it was those NLRB appointments that were made. That's specifically what the Supreme Court was deciding. At hand
National
was
Labor
really
Relations
those,
Board.
Yes, the National Labor Relations Board. And I believe, Bruce, those were three appointments that were made. And, of course, at issue was whether the Senate was formally out of session or in a pro forma session. And it would be – it's important to note for your listeners that never in the history of the United States has a president made appointments during a pro forma session, okay? So I think it's important for people to understand – the limits that this administration is willing to go and the crossing the over the line. Okay, we've got a couple crossing the lines going on.
Oh,
one
just a few.
One here in the president, and the second is in the Senate. Because, again, remember, this nuclear option, this is changing the course of the Senate in over 200 years. Okay? So you've got a lot of stuff going on here, and I think it's important for people to understand the things that this administration and this Senate are doing are history-making, okay? These things have not been done before.
We have a little more than a minute left. Do you want to leave me with any hope?
Well, the hope is, you know, following up with what you said about your trip, this is America, this is still a democracy, and I encourage your listeners to read, to question, to ask. You live in America, you have the right to ask questions, and you should. You should question authority. We should constantly be in the thirst for knowledge because, really, it's our lives and the lives of our children and grandchildren are at stake here.
That is for certain, and since I've already outlived the average life expectancy of most of the millions of people that live in Africa, I sort of don't care, personally. And if I didn't have kids, I wouldn't be as consumed as I am with what's going on in Delaware and company. Anyway, we are out of time. Please let my listeners know where they can find you. You are so passionate. I just love it. And I so am happy to have you back on the show. I hope you can join us semi-regularly
if your
schedule allows.
Yes.
Good. So where can we find you?
Yes, your listeners can find me on Twitter at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Lebon, L-E-B as in boy, O-N. That's Twitter, and then on Facebook, Sherilyn Harley Lebon. I love new friends on Facebook.
Wonderful. And Sherilyn is spelled?
C-H-E-R-Y-L-Y-N.
And that's Lebon. So it's Sherilyn Lebon or Sherilyn Harley Lebon on Facebook?
Sherilyn Harley Lebon on Facebook.
Okay, we got it. Thank you, Sherilyn. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Bruce. So happy to be back on your show.
Oh, me too, me too. We are talking via phone, and that's why there's an occasional slip-up. But we will be back after these messages, and you get me again, lucky listener.
But like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, it can let you down, take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love.